This is an Odyssey original.
Well, I thought I was going to do a show called Cakes and Cars, but that didn't work out because the network said that the car advertisers don't want to advertise cakes and cake advertisers don't want to. There it is right there. That is a chirpumple. It is a three-layer cake. I invented this. A white layer stuffed with cherry pie, a yellow layer stuffed with pumpkin pie, and a spice layer stuffed with an apple pie. Chirpumple, cherry, pumpkin, and apple. Those are the three pies. The recipe is in my book. It is so good!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new edition of the Talking About Cars podcast. I'm Randy Cardoon. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but when Hot Rod Bob and I do a podcast, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, we do not include all of the questions and answers we do in a podcast. Sometimes it's due to time. We don't want it to go too long. Sometimes it's for other projects that we do that do not necessarily work out. So now, in this edition, we are bringing back some of our previous guests that answered that one question that was somehow left out of the previous episode that they were in. So in this episode, we bring back Rodney Allen Rippey, Larry Dixon, Steve Magnante, Charles Phoenix, Steph Holloway, the Foot Guy from Superstore, Danny Gura, Randy Carlson. They all join us in this episode we call Car Quickies. And we lead it off with Bogey and Faye from All Girls Garage when we ask them about their first cars.
My first car I bought with a broken timing belt is a 1999 Volkswagen Passat wagon, 5-speed, 1.8T black, beautiful freaking car. Still the nicest, smoothest car I've ever owned in my life.
Wow. You still have it?
Oh. No, actually, I was working on a van again that I was planning on living in and accidentally caught myself on fire and landed in the hospital for 2 months. And my father, my birth father, is cheap. He didn't want to put miles on his car. Drove my Passat wagon to the ground while I was in the hospital. So, and he sold it. Never saw it again.
Okay. Mama ended there. And from that point on, she became a psychologist. So there we go.
True that, man.
Now, Bogey, we probably ask you the same question, but same question anyway. What was your first car?
1974 Volkswagen Beetle. So Faye and I share the Volkswagen history and love. Volkswagens are the gateway drug into automotive. Like, more technicians start their career because of Volkswagens than any other car, I'm pretty sure. So it was a little POS. It was this little red 74 bug that had holes in the floor so big you could do the Barney Rubble. And it, I think it cost me $500 of hard-earned lawn mowing and babysitting money. And it was the love of my life. And I restored it from the ground up when I was in high school in my auto shop class. And I still have it.
Wow.
And it's still a POS.
Motors and mechanics for decades.
What's that?
And like, Bogey and I shared that love like that. I remember, like, it was just a couple years ago, wasn't it, Bogey, that I saw that car for the first time, and I literally saw it, like, I just burst into tears. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
started it all. And I like a million selfies in front of it. It was great. Yeah.
You know, we're saying,
go ahead, Bob.
Volkswagens make owners into mechanics for decades.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
100%. True. I had somebody get upset about that when I said that on an interview recently that I had to learn how to work on cars because they're such pieces of crap. And they're like, Volkswagen bugs never broke down. And I'm like, really? Did you ever have one?
Broke down.
Like, I drove across. Right? Like, that was the point of it. Like, I drove across country and
it. You have to adjust the valve at every oil change.
Yeah.
Like, we got stuck like 4 or 5 times just in a 3,000-mile trip across country where it was like, nope, I'm done.
I used to race a Volkswagen Beetle, and
right
the weekend before the race, oil change, valve adjustment, and torque the heads.
Yeah,
it was just routine. And then if you had to change the clutch, all right, 4 bolts, disconnect the throttle linkage, pull the motor out. You did it. You did an overhaul in the driveway. But you started after breakfast, and you were done by noon.
Totally. And that was the cool thing about them, because they were so easy to work with. And they broke all the time, but they were so easy to work on. And they're, you literally could drop the engine with four bolts and a skateboard and no real tools. Like, you could have one tool and a skateboard and get the engine out. And that's awesome, because most kids getting into cars don't have a lot of tools. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of resources. So that's why it's the gateway drug.
We have to take that trip with
your dad, who's not at all mechanically inclined, Spokey.
What's that?
Didn't you take that road trip with your dad, who was like not at all mechanically inclined?
Oh, not that one, but I did do a trip with my dad, who is also not, yeah, he's not mechanically inclined at all. He helped me drive the bug back from college one year, and it was snowing, because I went to college in Ohio, so it was snowing, and there were holes in the dash, because it was a Volkswagen, right? Because there were like random holes in the dash. And so it was snowing inside the car. And we had to take turns driving because we were so cold that our fingers would go numb. And we had a blanket wrapped around our legs. And we would each drive for like half an hour. And then we'd switch while the other one like defrosted in the passenger seat. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I love how, like, both of our fathers are not mechanically inclined at all, but, like, everyone assumes that we were just raised by mechanics.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, my family doesn't know where I came from.
Same.
And right there, Roddy Allen Rippey from Jack Taco fame. Actually, I've just come up with a good question Jack I didn't Taco ask you before.
Okay.
Okay, now this is something that I don't know if you'll answer, to be honest, but we'll try. You are a Jack-in-the-Box guy. Are they still paying you?
I do. I mean, whenever they run a commercial, I do get a residual.
Yes, okay. Oh, you do. Okay. So if I asked you the question, let's just take the whole Jack in the Box thing out of the equation. Okay. What is your fast food go-to snack when you are feeling the need and you just can't find a Jack in the Box anywhere? What do you go for?
You know what? Honestly, if I'm on the run, I probably would say, Probably Subway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. I'm just because I can at least kind of get some veggies in, you know.
Yeah, well, that's healthy.
I like my veggies, yeah. So yeah. All good.
All right. Well, any particular kind of Subway sandwich?
You know, gosh, I like to mix it up, but sometimes if it's a hot day, I like a nice cold tuna sandwich. Nice cold tuna. Yeah. And I have to say probably Turkey Club.
Yeah, that's very good.
That's my favorite.
He answered the question. I'm very impressed. Yeah. Half of me wanted him to say something like, you know, Taco Bell or Popeyes or something. I don't know.
When you're running, sometimes I hit them all, you know, sometimes, but it's just that I enjoy cooking. You know, I really do enjoy cooking at home. So if I snack, I keep it light, and I like to come home and mix it up.
Yep, cool. Awesome. All right, go ahead, Bob. Ask him your question.
All right. The shape of cars to come. Are you going to go electric, or are you going to keep going with gas?
I tell you what, I've been following some of these electric cars and the type of power that these things and the responsiveness of it. You know what? I think that it should be fair that we bring more electric vehicles on the road to meet the mandate, but they should leave us alone. Come on. You can't take the gas. I mean, there's certain people. What are we going to do with all these hot rods? Make them like freaking like, what are you going to do? There's nothing. There's nothing that beats the roar of a...
Put them in hermetically sealed boxes.
No. But I think that it's fair, you know, that, you know, we introduce more electric vehicles out there. There's some beautiful designs, and there's some real new great companies coming out with some hot designs, supercar electric companies. There's a great conversion coming. I can't remember the name. They're converting the bugs to electric.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's down in Orange County that does it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mind blowing, people. You know, get a
And the motor's really electric. Small. I mean, but it's electric. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the cool thing. But yeah, I would consider having an electric vehicle. I certainly would, but I don't want to give him my Corvette.
I don't blame you there.
Now to Danny Gura, who played Elias in the TV show Superstore. Again, our question, Danny, is one of these days you're going to get an invite to do another movie or do something. If they had a chance to redo any movie and got you involved as a member of the cast that had to do with Cars, what kind of show would that be? What car show would you like to do the reboot on?
Oh boy, that's great. You know what? I mentioned Knight Rider before. It would be a lot of fun. First off, the car has to be a classic car, a really cool car. And the car has to be kind of, in fact, probably better than me. So I'm going to go either Knight Rider, which is just the coolest car of all time, or Herbie. I think Herbie would be a lot of fun just to have as a companion to play off of. It'd be a lot of fun to play with. It would be Herbie. And Herbie never goes out of style.
I can picture him in a Herbie movie.
Yeah.
You know,
we could redo Herbie.
Sure, it's been done several times before.
Listen, I mean, what was the Lindsay last? Lohan can redo it. Yeah, if Lindsay Lohan can do it, we can do it again. Okay.
There's got to be a female actress that could jump in and, you know, help out along the way, and you could be like the mechanic guy.
Sure. Or she could be the mechanic. You could be the driver.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll bring on Megan Fox, and we'll get it done.
That's it.
I like the way this man's thinking.
Now I'm already casting it in my head. What can I tell you?
There you go.
All right, somebody's going to be getting a call from Danny Gura about a new Herbie movie. I'm just saying. Former NHRA driver Larry Dixon Jr. joined us in front of his two-passenger dragster.
All right, Larry, you've got that great two-seater dragster behind you. Your dad's a past Top Fuel racer and a winner at Pomona and such. Will he ever go for a ride with you in the back of that car?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. I don't know. We got to find a sponsor for it.
That's not
that would one. That would be a blast, though. Gosh, you know, my dad. That would be really, really cool. I'd love that because to be honest with you, talking about it, I think the fastest he's ever gone is like 250 mile an hour. Well, we do that in the eighth, and that was in the quarter mile. This car will do, you know, 250 plus in the eighth mile. So it'd be a ride.
And he'd be holding onto a steering wheel, sitting in the back there. He's got no control. He's there. He's strapped in.
And yeah, I'm guessing
I wonder if he'd trust me enough to do that.
Yeah. I wonder if you'd be able to hear him as you're going down the straightaway.
Yeah, actually, if the lead is.
Larry Dixon Jr. Time to take a break here on our Car Quickies edition of Talking About Cars podcast. When we return, Randy Carlson will be joining us, as will Charles Phoenix, Steve Magnante, Steph Holloway, and more coming up on the Talking About Cars podcast on Odyssey.com and KNX1070.com when we return after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Hot Rod Bob. I'm Randy Cardoon. This is Steph Holloway from I Drive a Classic, and she is actually from Britain, and we're both in California. And just to let you know, I prepared for this. I have British sterling.
Oh,
amazing.
Okay. I know a little British sterling, and I'm sure she appreciates that.
I do.
Although, thank God you can't smell it from here.
We're the ones with the accent.
Yes, exactly. We are the ones with the accent to her. Absolutely.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
So that is pretty good. By the way, great hair, great outfit, yes. Great background.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
Bob and I, of course, are stuck in California with a pandemic situation. You can't get your hair cut. So I'm sporting the retired surfer look. Bob is right now either Moses or Methuselah. We haven't quite figured that out.
Yeah, I can't even shave him.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm curious, what is the top three cars We talked about it in the show, top three cars you want to put on your show. What are the top three cars, if you had the cash in your hip pocket, that you would go out and buy for to add to your collection? I know you can get three more Morris Minors. We figure that's probably not going to happen. What three other cars would you be interested in?
Gosh, right. So I actually had a conversation about this the other night. So number one, I really would like a Morris 1800, probably for nothing else. And I'd like to go a lot faster than I do. not that I would trust me going much faster, because I can already get a fair whack out of that marina and the metro. So what else would I have?
Would you ever want an American car?
Do you know, if so, here's the question. If I pick an American car, do I get a fuel allowance with it?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
We have some that do get some decent fuel mileage.
Yeah, but that's not the ones we want to talk about, Bob. I don't think. No.
It's not the ones we own either.
Well, again, this is fantasy. So let's go with the fantasy. Yes, you get a fuel allowance.
Yes.
Okay, so my friend Jake has a Dodge Dart, and I absolutely love it. I think it's so cool. So I think if somebody said to me, the American car of your choice, I think I would go for that Dodge Dart. And then,
any idea what year that Dodge Dart is?
It is. Let me have a look. I'll tell you.
No problem. Not a problem.
Give me 1 second.
No, this is the beauty of editing.
Oh, why does it not have a number plate on it?
This is the Jeopardy countdown. Yeah, show us a picture. We'll tell you.
He's done it up as a race car. It's really, really cool.
Okay. We like race cars.
Is it a... It
disappears.
Oh, we'd have to lose your background. We don't want to
do
that.
We would. Hold on. I've got an idea. Right, so...
No, it's about a 65.
63, 64.
It's got the bigger taillights. It hasn't got the... It does have a 64, yeah. It's got the little round taillights.
Yeah, it's either...
I know that car. 60.
All right, go ahead, Bob.
I know the car. I was supposed to come over to do Dragstalgia this year.
Yes!
But because of the quarantine, I couldn't come in. I was going to be one of the on-air announcers for it. And that was one of the cars that I looked at in photos that they sent me from the British Drag Racing Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Because you guys have a lot, most of the cars that are running there are American-based cars. And as a matter of fact, the hood from my car is on a car that races at Centipod.
Really?
Yeah, a buddy of mine that I worked with here built a 1946 Plymouth and needed a hood. I had a spare one. I sold it to him. And then he sold it to one of his friends over there. And he races it at Centipod at the Dragstalgia.
Well, there you go.
That's amazing. So I guess the last question would be, what would my third car be? And this is a pretty boring choice. So I took out that Mini the other week, Mr. Bean's Mini, the actual Mr. Bean Mini. And I decided that I actually quite like Minis. And I'd always looked at them before and thought, a bit overrated, not really for me. And I drove it and it was so funny because I do love a car that you can throw around bends and have a bit of a wild time in. And it was one of those cars and I just really, really liked it. And then sensible me would say to you, well, I'm not going to be able to get parts for the other two cars. At least this one is one that I could keep on the road because, you know, with the Mini being such an iconic British vehicle, we can still get all the bits for it. So my third car would probably be a Mini because at least I could park it, whereas the other two I'd probably have a little bit more trouble with.
It'd be even more interesting if Mr. Bean came along with the car. That dude,
I know.
You get a cut out of him and put him in the passenger seat.
Oh, hilarious. So something... My final geeky fact for the day for you is that the Morris 1800 was also designed by Alec Iskonis, who, of course, designed the Mini and the Morris Minor. But the interesting thing about the 1800 is that he said that was his favorite car that he ever designed.
Wow. Now, I sense a book coming.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, we got that car as the Austin Marina, not Marina, we got them here, but they had the hydroelastic suspension.
Ooh.
Which was a rubber bladder that was filled with alcohol. So they had to pay an alcohol tax on the cars.
Bob, enough of your social life. Let's just move on to the car. Jeez.
But they were cool. Yeah, we got it here too, and they called it an Austin America is what they called it here.
Oh, that's right. That's what they called it. Yeah.
I tell you what really turns heads over here, and it's an American English crossover. Is the Austin Nash Metropolitan?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Whenever you see them at shows, everybody's like, they are insane. They are gorgeous. Gorgeous. Are they big over there? That's my question for you, I guess. Are they big over there?
Oh, yeah. Huge. Huge over here.
They've got a big following, special clubs and so forth. And the Cluey people have realized that it's an MG engine and they can upgrade it to the MG parts.
Right. Okay.
So they put the induction on it. They can get the camshaft. They can put some horsepower in it. It still can't get out of its own way, but it's still fun.
That's true.
There's my bug history.
Yeah, your bug history.
All right. Ooh, cool. So you were doing slaloms or something with it?
Yeah, doing autocrossing with it. It was actually a 69 that I put earlier fenders on it to fool people.
Okay, cool.
And then I added 4 inches to the rear fender to clear the tires. I had 10-inch wide tires on it. And it actually won the import sweepstakes award when RG Canning was doing the indoor shows.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it was cool.
So it was show and go.
Yeah. No, that's killer. It's got a really, really serious look to it for a happy little Beetle. I bet it was fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a kick. I love teasing Porsches.
And joining us, of course, from Sticker Shock and a whole bunch of other shows, our good friend Randy Carlson. Bet you didn't know you were our good friend. You are now. Yes, Randy, thanks for joining us. And our question for you, we know you're a big Volkswagen bug guy. I'm kind of curious, what was your aha moment that you realized bugs were going to be the car that you really, really liked?
For me, it was probably because the first car that I really put a ton of effort into and started bringing to shows and stuff, I got recognized for it. You know, a magazine wanted to shoot a feature on it, and it was like, oh my God, you know, here's my game in life. This is where I need to be. And I really kind of enjoyed that. And so that spawned a lot more, you know. It's like, oh, well, that was fun. I'm going to build another one and then build another one. And, you know, I started to develop an awful lot of friendships and connections and stuff there. And it feels like family.
How many bugs have you had?
I don't dare count, but I at one point I looked up like all the magazine features and stuff on cars that I had restored or you know, in some case they were original ones that were just being shown, but you know, it was up like over 70 magazine features.
Wow.
All, and the vast majority of those are all Volkswagen focused. So I mean, I really kind of found a place there and ran with it and continue to do so. I'll never get away from the Volkswagen crowd. It's been way too fun, and the people are really relaxed and cool, and I love that.
You know, Bob, you had a Volkswagen. That means you're relaxed and you're cool. Is that true?
Dude. Yeah.
Without a doubt. He does not surprise me that he's a Volkswagen man. I can see it.
You know, on my bucket list, I want a Puma.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I had a Puma.
And, oh, you had one? Oh, wow.
I had one. It's
somebody's big. Okay. at the last bug race at Irwindale, a guy came up with one that he had. It was not a first generation, but the one that was first imported into the U.S. And I fell in love with those cars. I mean, I knew about them beforehand, but I just love that car. It's a kit car that's not a kit car. Everything fits right. It was a manufactured car. I think if I remember correctly, when they came in, you had a choice of getting it with an engine or without, so it could pass smog. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted one, but at the time couldn't afford it. Now they're somewhat affordable, but all of a sudden they've been noticed. And they're starting to skyrocket.
They are. The one thing that's kind of neat about the Puma, when you look at the design of it, I mean, they really stole the best lines from every manufacturer and put them all together into something. You know, it's got a little Ferrari to it. It's got a little this and that. And I mean, it's a beautiful car. I don't fit into one very well, being a real tall guy. So that, you know, I had always wanted one, and I finally found one that was cheap and needed love. And I brought it home and I started working on it. And then I sat behind the wheel and I went,
This isn't going to work. See, I'm vertically challenged, so I don't have that problem.
Oh, then it's all you, baby. Yeah.
Charles Phoenix is joining us. Charles, we didn't get a chance to talk much about your being a chef. We did mention it a little bit. We understand you were on Cake Wars. What was that like? Do you have any really cool stories about that?
Cake Wars on Food Network. Yeah, I was a judge on there. Basically, you know, I'll tell you, the only thing they cheated on was one thing and one thing only. I was there, I saw everything. When they said you have 45 minutes, that really meant an hour. When they said you have 3 hours, that really meant 4 hours. That's it. That was the only cheat. So otherwise it was all totally legit. I mean, you know, I didn't know how much they were gonna cheat or whatever, but it's really not about cheating. They just gave them more time than they said. That's the only thing.
Well, their clocks don't work is what you're basically saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Old clocked.
Or what?
No.
Old clocked, batteries were dying, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what Food Network show would you like to be on if you had a shot at any of them?
There's only one show left, or maybe two. Guy Fieri, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's about the only thing they play, isn't it? They might play that, and they might play Guy's Grocery Games. So basically, it's become the Guy Fieri channel. And, you know, I mean, I have nothing against Guy Fieri. I think he's really, really good at what he does. And he likes classic cars. I believe that he drives, or, you know, drives a 67 Camaro convertible.
He's got a Camaro convertible.
67 Camaro convertible.
Absolutely. And you, of course, are known for your unusual desserts, including one that was described as the turducken of desserts.
The turpumple, yes. It is in my book, Holiday Jubilee. Since you want to talk about, I thought you guys want to talk about cars. You want to talk about cakes? Well, I thought I was going to do a show called Cakes and Cars, but that didn't work out because the network said that the car advertisers don't want to advertise cakes and cake advertisers don't want to. There it is right there. That is a chirpumple. It is a three-layer cake. I invented this. A white layer stuffed with cherry pie, a yellow layer stuffed with pumpkin pie, and a spice layer stuffed with an apple pie. Chirpumple, cherry, pumpkin, and apple. Those are the three pies. The recipe is in my book. It is so good that you don't want to try even eating it for about the first 5 years until, like, you know, you feed it to everybody else. And then finally, after 5 years, you let that, like, what is this experience of eating a chirpumple like? And then you finally, like, dive in. So, yeah, I didn't eat one for 5 years. I didn't eat it.
Wow.
But, I mean, everyone's like, this is so good. This is so good. I'm like, I'm just going to not go there. And then finally, after 5 years, I'm like, you know what? I think it's time that I try a big slice of chirpumple. And so I tried it. And you would not believe how, like, where the pie crust and the cake batter come together and bake. They just kind of become one perfect best friendship with each other. And it's so good. The textures are so good. The flavors are so good. And then the pie filling inside, it's delicious.
And he didn't even have to copyright it, I don't think, did you?
Oh, you can't copyright that, I don't think. I mean, there's no way. But people have ripped it off. But you know what? You can't copyright a cake, really.
All right. All right, Charles. Thanks a lot for that. Again, if you want to contact Charles, find out about his books. He's got some great books. Go to charlesphoenix.com. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. Steve Magnante, you know him from Junkyard Gold on the Motor Trend TV app, as well as the Barrett Jackson broadcast. He's an author. And right now, if you go to various junkyards and you get a chance to see all sorts of interesting cars. Top five cars, Steve, that you would like someday that you have seen in your many travels through those junkyards.
Well, I guess I'll do cars that have been on the show. And in some cases, when we're out in the wild, I find cars that don't either fit the theme or we can't find time to put into the program. So to make it easier in case people know the show, I'll keep it to things we've seen on the episode. Okay, first one, I think the weirdest car that I've found so far would be a 1951 Chrysler Crown Imperial Limousine. And most of those were built with bodies by LeBaron, I think it was, or yeah, LeBaron, I think it was. But this car was a former Air Force car. You could see traces of
light blue paint, and it was respayed black. The biggest thing about that car, though, was it came stock with four-wheel disc brakes. A lot of guys say, hang on, first American car with four-wheel disc was the Corvette, 1965, right? Not so fast. 1949 through 1954, Chrysler, Crown Imperial, limousines, and also the Town and Countries came with a thing called the Osco Lambert safety brake. So this Crown Imperial in a junkyard in Idaho still had them front and rear, and we pointed that car out. So that was a crazy weird car, and of course being a 51, first year for the Hemi. So in 50 it would have had a flathead 8 and been really slow, but it had a 1951. So it was that car, I think I actually described that car as deserving a restoration. So the first weirdest car would have got to be the 51 Crown Imperial with four-wheel disc brakes. You can see it on one of the episodes. So moving on, there was so many cars that were crazy weird, kind of hard to nail them all down. But yeah, we found a 1965 Chevy Malibu. It was an L79 car, 327, 350 horse, the good one, the hottest motor you could get in 65, short of the Z16. And that was also in that Idaho yard, L&L Salvage. And that was a four-speed car, as all L79s were. Of course, the L79 was basically a Corvette 327, 350 horse in a Malibu. And we found the bones of one of those things. I guess, let's see, moving forward from there, also found a 1967 Buick GS400 with aluminum drum brakes up front. And for me, you know, I like unusual features on cars. And again, in Buick land, the Grand Sports, the GS400s, came with finned aluminum drums up front. They were the same 9.5-inch diameter by 2 shoes found in lesser cars, but the aluminum drum dissipated heat. And while those brakes were optional on Buick, on old 442s and on GTOs, they were never offered on the SS396 Chevelle. So crazy but true, Chevelle couldn't be had with these big drums. So I guess number 3 would have to be that 67 GS400 with the aluminum drums. Moving forward, we found a 57 Chevy station wagon that was in a South Carolina junkyard that had a set of M&H Racemaster slicks on the back that were flat and rotten, chrome reverse wheels. And I said, this was somebody's drag car. So we checked out closer. It wasn't a fuelie. I was kind of thinking, you know, and in my book, you know, every 57 Chevy is a fuelie until I know it's not. You know what I mean? We got to go in and find out. You know what I mean? Because it could be. And if you just walk by, yeah, it can't be. It is until you know it's not. Well, it wasn't a fuelie, but it was a 283. And we could see they had clutch pedals. So it was somebody's three-speed manual race car. And keep in mind, in 1957, the only car with a 4 on the floor was a Corvette as an option. So this was a 3-speed manual, column shifted, 283, with M&H Racemaster on the back. It was even Indian bronze metallic, a beautiful car, but sitting there with a tree growing through the front bumper. It had been parked there since 1965, and this tree was making separating the bumper from the car. So that was number 4. That was a pretty cool piece of Ford. It wasn't a Malibu. I'm sorry, it wasn't a Nomad. It was just a regular, you know, 210 wagon, but still a cool piece. Somebody's old drag car with M&H Racemaster is still on the back. Got a question?
Pointing at, yeah.
My 210 wagon, let's see.
That's... Oh, yeah, there it is. Sure, 56, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I might say number 5, the craziest, weirdest thing we found in the junkyard. We haven't found any Stutz Bearcats. A couple of Rolls Royces did that. I mean, we're talking 67, 68, the Shadows, which are, they're interesting. They're not really collectible yet, unless you're talking two-doors or convertibles, you know, the Corniche. But we found some four-door Rolls Royces in a junkyard, but we moved beyond. We did, of course, some of those had turbo 400 transmissions. General Motors provided transmissions to Rolls Royce starting in like 1955, the automatics. But anyway, I would say the 5th car, we found a Jensen Healey, which is a pretty unusual car. You know, Jensen Motors, of course, since 1927 or 8, something like that, in England. And of course, they made a variety of cars after World War II. The Jensen FF, I think it was, which was sort of like a, I don't know, looked kind of like an MG, but it had V8s, of course, and the Jensen Interceptor. But 1972, 73, well, hang on. Okay, there was a company called Pressed Steel, and Jensen, the Austin Healey 3000 in 1968, when it wouldn't meet American standards, Jensen said, we have to come up with something. And that something was the Jensen Healey, which arrived in 1971 and was built through 75, 76. But it had a really weird engine, an inline two-cam, four-valve, four-cylinder engine. And this car was in a junkyard in Texas and still there. And the car made the show. We did an episode on sports cars, European sports cars. But the Jensen Healey was a weird thing to find in a junkyard, the one and only I've ever seen in a junkyard. Well, speaking of money, can I show you something interesting for a second here?
Sure.
This penny. Okay.
I'm sorry?
Can you see that penny?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, stamped off center.
Correct. That is an error coin. And I happen to love error coins. In fact, I've got a whole bunch of them. And even things like this. This is a blank planchet right there.
Okay.
And in some cases, coins get out of the mint that were bloopers. And if you go to coin dealers and say, may I see your error coin tray, please? They bring out a tray. In the tray will be weird stuff like that.
Are they worth anything, Steve?
Well, the funny thing is, yeah, they sure can be. Yeah, I mean, you get a thing called a mule, which is basically like a quarter planchet with a nickel stamped on it. That's where one coin mules onto another one. Those can be worth thousands. You know, the more you can see of the original design and the date, the more they're worth. But they're an interesting facet of coin collecting.
Okay.
Not to hijack your show.
No, that's fine.
I can say, go ahead and try to do that and see what happens. I think it'll work out.
We're giving people culture.
Yeah. Okay. Culture. Oh, yeah. Not just for yogurt.
No, yeah.
Not just for yogurt anymore.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Please share our show on social media. Subscribe. It's absolutely free. Leave a comment. And if you're on iTunes or if you're on our new Odyssey website, odyssey.com or KNX1070.com, rate us, and that goes for iTunes and Apple Podcasts and all the other ones that you can listen to us on. Thanks in advance for helping our podcast grow. Follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and remember again to subscribe, share, or retweet, or why not both? Let this be the start of you binge listening, talking about cars. And Talking About Cars is now on the Two Tired Guys Productions YouTube channel. You could watch the shows you've only really been able to hear before. And again, did I mention subscribe? Until next time, I'm Randy Cardoon, along with Hot Rod Bob Beck. That's Rodney, that's Larry, that's Steve, that's Charles, that's Steph, that's Danny, that's Randy, and of course, that's Bogey and Faye, having a good time talking about cars. So long, everybody.